Have you ever snapped at someone and immediately thought, I sound just like my mother? Or felt a wave of childish panic when your boss calls you into their office, even though you're a competent adult? These moments aren't accidents. They're windows into a psychological reality that transformed how millions understand themselves. What if the key to changing your life wasn't years of expensive therapy, but simply learning to recognize which you is running the show at any given moment? This insight emerged from a revolutionary approach that challenged traditional psychiatry's endless vague treatments. Instead of keeping patients dependent for years, transactional analysis offered something radical, a practical framework anyone could learn and apply immediately. The core discovery? We're not one unified self, but three distinct parts constantly competing for control: parent, adult, and child. Understanding these parts doesn't just explain your behavior, it gives you the power to change it. Inside your head right now, three distinct voices are having a conversation. The parent sounds like your actual parents, full of rules, judgments, and shoulds. It's the voice that says, always wear clean underwear, and what will the neighbors think? This isn't metaphorical. Your brain literally recorded everything your parents said and did during your first 5 years, storing it like a video with full audio and emotional commentary. The child is your emotional core. Every feeling you experienced as a small, vulnerable person trying to navigate a world controlled by giants. It holds your creativity and joy, but also your deepest insecurities. This is the part that feels small when criticized, that wants ice cream for dinner, that believes, I'm not good enough. The child doesn't reason, it feels. And those feelings, recorded before you had words to process them, still drive more of your behavior than you'd like to admit. The adult is your data processor, the part that can actually think clearly about present reality. It emerges around 10 months old when you first discover you can move independently and affect your environment. The adult asks questions, gathers information, and makes decisions based on current facts rather than old recordings. But here's the catch. Your adult is often drowned out by the louder voices of parent and child, especially under stress. Think about your last argument with your partner. You probably started with a reasonable adult question, where are my keys? But when met with a sarcastic response, your child felt attacked and your parent jumped in with judgment. Within seconds, you're having a fight that has nothing to do with keys and everything to do with old recordings playing on repeat. The goal isn't eliminating parent and child, they contain valuable information, but giving your adult the power to decide when their input is actually relevant. Before you could walk, you made a fundamental decision about reality that still shapes every relationship. Based on limited data and overwhelming feelings, every child reaches one of four conclusions about themselves and others. These life positions become the lens through which you interpret everything. The first position, I'm not okay, you're okay, is universal in early childhood. You're helpless while adults seem powerful. Most people never fully escape this, spending their lives chasing approval or sabotaging success. The second position, I'm not okay, you're not okay, emerges when a child who already feels worthless experiences complete abandonment. Without strokes during critical windows, you conclude everyone is not okay. This is profound hopelessness, the position of the severely depressed. The third position, I'm okay, you're not okay, develops when brutal treatment flips the script. A child experiencing severe abuse decides, they're the problem, not me. These people never accept responsibility, always blaming others. The fourth position, I'm okay, you're okay, is qualitatively different. Unlike the first three unconscious conclusions, this is a conscious adult decision based on what you choose to believe about human worth. This is the position of psychological health, where you accept both your own value and others without keeping score. It's the only position from which genuine change is possible. Communication fails not because we use the wrong words, but because we're talking from the wrong ego state. Every interaction involves two people with three parts each, creating six possible participants in what looks like a simple conversation. When communication works, transactions are complementary. Stimulus and response travel on parallel lines. Adult-to-adult exchanges information smoothly. Parent-to-parent conversations continue indefinitely. Child-to-child playfulness creates connection. The content doesn't matter. What matters is that both people operate from corresponding ego states. But when transactions cross, communication stops dead. Ask your partner, "Have you seen my phone?" And their parent responds, "You're always losing things." The wires cross. Your adult asked for information, their parent delivered criticism. Now your child feels attacked and responds defensively, "I am not." Suddenly, you're fighting about character rather than searching for a phone. The most destructive pattern is the ulterior transaction, where the social level appears adult to adult, but the psychological level differs. A husband asks, "Where are my cufflinks?" But his tone suggests, "You should have kept track of my things." His wife's parent hears the criticism and responds, "Where you left them?" Both claim reasonableness while engaging in a parent-child power struggle. Recognizing these patterns gives you a superpower, consciously choosing which ego state responds. When someone's parent criticizes you, your adult can stay engaged, refusing to play games. This single skill transforms every relationship you have. Not everyone's parent, adult, and child function as separate parts. Sometimes these ego states blur together, or one completely blocks out the others, creating persistent dysfunction. Contamination occurs when parent or child data leaks into the adult and gets mistaken for objective truth. Parent contamination appears as prejudice. Someone genuinely believes women are too emotional for leadership and defends it as logic. These aren't adult conclusions, they're parent recordings externalized as fact. You can't argue someone out of prejudice because it's not a thought, it's a feeling of safety attached to an old rule. Child contamination produces delusions, archaic childhood experiences projected onto present reality. The person who believes everyone is plotting against them isn't lying. Their adult is contaminated by child recordings that once made emotional sense. Exclusion happens when one ego state completely blocks out the others. The workaholic who can't relax has a parent-dominated personality with a blocked-out child. The person with a blocked-out parent, often someone who experienced severe abuse, becomes a psychopath, lacking conscience and social controls. Perhaps most tragic is the bland personality, someone raised by emotionally flat parents whose recordings are simply boring, creating chronic low-grade depression not from trauma, but from a genuinely colorless internal landscape. Most people marry from their child, mistaking intense feelings for love and seeking someone to fill childhood wounds. This is why we're drawn to familiar patterns, even dysfunctional ones. The average marriage operates on a flawed 50-50 contract where partners keep score. I did the dishes, so you should do laundry. This bookkeeping mentality treats love like a business transaction. Real love isn't about fairness. It's about unlimited liability, giving without keeping score. Common relationship wreckers reveal which ego state controls. "That's just the way I am," is the child refusing responsibility. The grouch before coffee routine holds everyone hostage to mood. Couples who make decisions based on what friends are doing lack adult direction. They drift with social currents into disillusionment and debt. Many marriages lack shared direction. Partners never discuss fundamental values, kindness or wealth, career or family. Without adult agreement, the child's reactions and parents' unexamined rules determine major decisions. Couples wake up years later as strangers, living parallel lives. Thriving marriages commit to adult-adult communication, examining parent recordings and child feelings without being controlled by them. This means choosing when to let the child play and when to engage the adult, rather than letting old recordings run your relationship on autopilot. The best way to help children is to help their parents, because children don't exist in isolation. When a child struggles, shuttling them between experts while the home situation remains unchanged rarely works. Children stay afloat through their parents' okayness. If your child gets hooked into a child-child battle with your offspring, they sense the world collapsing, seeing not okay on both sides with nowhere to grab hold. Children learn primarily through imitation. You can lecture about emotional regulation, but if you lose your temper when frustrated, that's the lesson they absorb. Demonstrating adult behavior when emotionally triggered, pausing, thinking, choosing a response rather than reacting, teaches more powerfully than any explanation. Effective parenting requires asking what came before to understand children's responses. When your child melts down, comfort the overwhelmed child and activate the adult by asking what happened. This teaches them to process emotions rather than just discharge them. School amplifies whatever position a child already holds. The confident child gets more opportunities. The struggling child faces daily confirmation of, "I'm not okay." When in doubt, stroke. Positive recognition feeds the okayness children desperately need. The most disturbing insight? The battered child is programmed for violence. Repeated beatings record catastrophic terror and rage, shifting their position to the psychopathic, "I'm okay, you're not okay." We cannot teach nonviolence with violence. The cycle continues until someone consciously breaks it. We stand at a crossroads. The same dynamics poisoning personal relationships create international conflicts. The same parent recordings making you judge your neighbor make nations demonize each other. The same frightened child lashing out when criticized makes countries reach for weapons when threatened. The hope? Psychological barriers, not physical ones, divide us. We have the resources to ensure basic dignity for all. What we lack is collective adult capacity to examine our parent recordings and child fears, to ask whether our automatic responses serve current reality or replay ancient fears. Change begins with awareness. Every time you catch yourself reacting from parent or child, you create a choice point. Every time you pause and engage your adult, you break a pattern. These small moments accumulate into transformed relationships, rippling outward into transformed communities. Understanding that everyone carries a frightened child and critical parent lets us meet each other with compassion rather than judgment. Recognizing that "I'm okay, you're okay" is a conscious choice rather than a feeling lets us claim it even when emotions scream otherwise. The question isn't whether you have parent recordings, child wounds, or adult capacity. You have all three. The question is, which one is driving your life right now? In your marriage, your parenting, your work, your response to conflict, which ego state has control? Once you can answer that question, you can finally choose a different response. And that choice, repeated moment by moment, transforms not just your own life, but the lives of everyone you touch.